French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. And we'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. Here we are in the mid-August month and the autumn days are right around the corner. I cannot wait. It's an exciting time of year with so many outdoor opportunities right around the corner out here on the Great Plains.
Absolutely. You know, I've been working on some magazine articles lately, last couple weeks, and they're articles about early teal season and the early prairie chicken season that we have here in Kansas. And, you know, Nebraska's got that early chicken season, and been researching some stuff going on around the upland in the Dakotas. And it has gotten me itching for fall and September and all those exciting things. But it's not fall yet. I can see it from here. But it's not fall yet.
Yeah, you can certainly like feel it in the air in the mornings, and then the noon hour rolls around and it's still smothering hot.
Yeah. The humidity's there for sure. Yep.
Come September 1, I hope we see a shift in that. We can get ready for all these great opportunities. I know last episode we talked about a lot of things catfishing, really all things catfishing. I learned a ton. We hope you guys did too. Especially during the hot summer days, what better thing to do than catfish? But one thing we didn't cover is fly fishing. And there's a lot of opportunity out there in the Great Plains for fly fishing.
Yeah, you know, I've been a fly fishing angler for a number of years personally. I am in by no means an expert. But, you know, it's not something a lot of people, even avid anglers, associate with the Great Plains. So I've asked my friend Roger, who's an avid fly fisherman, to join us today and to talk about all things fishing, fly fishing specifically, on the Great Plains, particularly when we're talking about warm water, you know, not your random spring-fed hatchery kind of thing, although, you know, that is out there on the Great Plains. But Roger is the local lake caretaker here at the Madison Lake, where I'm nearby. And he does some volunteer work for the fisheries department at Kansas Wildlife and Parks. You know, I've known Roger for going on 20 plus years now, and he's an avid outdoorsman, and he's active in the local Legion chapter here. And he also works to organize an annual fishing clinic that's in memory of a mutual friend of Roger and I's, an outdoorsman that passed away, Mark Osmondson. And really appreciate all the work that Roger does around around the outdoors here in our local lake. And he's kind of a legend. You know, if you're on the Kansas Outdoors Facebook group, Roger's a fixture there.
Well, that's exciting. We've got a legend with us.
That's right.
Roger, thanks for joining us. I'm thrilled because fly fishing has been one thing on my bucket list and on my list of things to pick up and really get into, because I think it could be really fun and therapeutic and just really engaging. So I'm looking forward to learning more about fly fishing, especially here in Kansas specifically. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started.
Well, I've been fly fishing about 50 years probably, since I picked up my first fly rod shortly after I come back from Vietnam. That was kind of therapy.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I've went through a lot of fly rods in the last 50 years, and I still have the first one I ever owned. It's went through a couple of other people, and they've learned to fly fish with it, and it's a great, great sport.
So your original fly rod has found its way back, huh?
Yes, it did. It sure did.
I love that.
And I still use it.
You know, I think that speaks a testimony, too, that I imagine that fly rod went to some friends so that they could pick up the sport. You were loaning that out, and we appreciate that.
Right. And it's still still just as good as it was when I bought it. It's caught a lot of fish in the last 50 years.
That's great. So, you know, I really enjoy the social media posts that you share from specifically around the Madison area, just because, you know, I can relate to those areas that you're fishing and the fish that you're catching. And I'm just curious, what's your favorite fly when you're fishing, you know, warm water areas, whether that's a reservoir or a creek or river? What's your favorite fly?
It's got to be the woolly bugger.
The
woolly bugger. That's the first fly I learned to tie, and I have caught just, it'll catch anything.
I personally am a fan of the name of that fly.
So for our listeners who might not know what a woolly bugger is, can you explain it just a little bit for us?
It's a fly that's supposed to imitate a leech or a lot of different aquatic insects that all the freshwater fish eat. And warm water fish or cold water fish, they all eat it. It's just a fantastic fly.
So would it be fair to say that it looks like a off-colored, maybe a green, maybe that's the next question, is what's your favorite color? But like a short earthworm or a caterpillar. I mean, it's kind of along those, like you mentioned, a leech. And I guess it's important, too, for our listeners to understand that flies, sort of like crappie jigs, you can have the same pattern in different sizes. So you could have a little bitty woolly booger all the way up to a great big woolly booger, right?
Yes, I tie them in a lot of different sizes. My favorite color is black. Also, olive is a great color. It imitates a lot of different things. I caught some channel cat today on an olive size 8.
Interesting. Okay. So you're tying that. I assume you have some kind of a vise that holds the hook, and then you're using thread. And what's the material, the woolly booger part? What is it made out of?
It's made out of marabou, off of marabou stark, that has been dyed to different colors. And it's got chenille, which is a heavy thread that wraps the body, and then chicken feathers that have been dyed in all the different colors, and you wrap that on for the hackle. And most of mine, I put a tungsten bead on it so it'll sink deeper. And if you don't have a bead on it, it stays up fairly close to the surface. So it just all depends on where you think the fish are as to what you tie the fly at.
Interesting. That's cool. So I know a lot of people, you know, think about fly fishing in the romance and Brad Pitt movies and things like that, right? And it's top water, right? It's a dry fly. And,
right.
So you're actually adding some weight to get that fly down in the water column to where those fish are feeding at, right?
That's right. Yeah. There's a lot of activity goes on down there with bugs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, woolly booger, we're going to tie that on to a leader or a tippet of a certain weight, and that's going to be strung through a rod, a fly rod. And a lot of folks aren't, if they're not familiar with fly fishing, aren't going to know that rather than light, medium, heavy action, we're going to talk about the weight of the fly rod. Could you talk about that? You know, what weight of fly rod and leader and tippet size do you prefer for the type of fishing we're talking about?
Just about all around go-to fly rod, I use a 5-weight with a weight forward floating line, and the tippet, it can be made out of tippet material or just monofilament fly line. I usually run about a 10 pound unless I'm fishing for small bluegill. Then I use a 4 pound leader, and then the tippet can be lighter than the leader itself. For bluegill, I might use a 2-pound test tippet. Most of the time I have a 4-pound or a 6-pound.
Mm-hmm. So if you're going to get a little sporty and kind of play the fish,
right,
you're going to move down to a lighter tippet. How long is your 5-weight rod that you're casting with?
9 foot.
Okay.
That's a rod. Wow. I just imagine a bunch of our kids in our youth program holding a 9-foot rod, and they're about 4 foot tall.
They make a lot shorter rods too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's important to understand when you're fly fishing, right? You're casting the line rather than the weight of the jig or the lure. So the length of the rod directly relates to the cast.
Right.
Right. Interesting.
That is. I have so many questions. But more importantly, I'm super curious, Roger, what's your favorite species to fly fish for? And you have a lot of options out there.
Yes, I do. Gosh, I think I'm going to have to say carp.
Okay. And why is that? I got to know.
They can be hard to catch. They can really fight hard. And you got the opportunity to catch some really big ones. I've caught them up to 35 pounds.
Wow.
Yes. And there's different subspecies in a carp. The mirror carp has part skin and part scales. And there's also a leather carp that's all skin.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Cool.
Me neither. I like to consider myself a novice. Is that even a fair? Very, very elementary fisher woman.
There you go.
So I learn every day. So I appreciate that you know that there's so many subspecies. And I can imagine after doing this for 50 years, like you said, you've got quite the eye for what you're pulling out of the water. Do you usually keep track of what you caught? I mean, do you like have a book of all the fish that you've been able to angle in? And
no, but I really should have.
You should. I think it's not too late to do that, Roger. I think you got to go through and create a little, like a passport book of some sort.
Right. I've only caught one fish that I didn't know what it was when I got it in. And I had to talk to a fisheries biologist at the Kansas State Fair. And I didn't have a picture, but I described it. And he said it was in the Osho River Red Horse. And it shouldn't have bit on a fly, and the fly wasn't directly in its mouth, but it was right beside its mouth. So it could have been foul hooked. I don't know.
Wow.
I was impressed.
I'm very impressed.
That is interesting. So is it fair to say of the catfish, let's say we got channel cats. Have you caught bullheads on a fly rod?
I have.
Okay. How about a flathead?
I have not caught a flathead. That is on my bucket list.
Okay. I'm sure probably wipers.
Yes.
All the panfish, right? Bluegills, yes. And green sunfish and crappie, white and black. And how about walleyes or sawguys or sauger?
I've caught all three.
Really? That's pretty cool.
Check.
Uh-huh. And the three species of subspecies of carp that I wasn't even aware of. How about any of the sucker fish, like the buffalo, those types of fish?
I've never caught a big mouth buffalo or the small mouth buffalo, neither one. I was fishing with Mark Osmondson once at Burlington City Dam, and he caught a largemouth buffalo.
Really?
And I was really impressed with that.
That's cool. Okay. So it's fair to say, I would think, apart from a hook and a worm, a fly fisherman can be pretty versatile.
Yes, extremely.
I like that. You know, from the shore, it looks very complicated, very technical. The methodology looks very intense, but when you break it down, it's just simply using a different pole, right?
Right.
You can fish for whatever fish you really want. as long as you just read up on it.
That's true. Yes.
So what other equipment do you like to use, Roger, when fly fishing? Waders, belly boats, anything? What's your go-to? I should ask you that.
Waders. Waders are my go-to. I have three belly boats, and they very seldom get to go with me. It's just a lot of work, and if the water is shallow enough that I can wade out there in waders, I'm happy.
Do you think that's the easiest way for someone to get started in fly fishing, is to look the wader out versus?
Yes. Yes,
I do. Any other method? Cool.
Yes. Or just fish from the shoreline. I spend a lot of time just fishing from the shoreline.
Okay.
So in the warm water, it's, you know, somebody was going to learn to fly fish, pick it up. You know, this time of year, the water's pretty warm. You know, a pair of old sneakers or King water sandals or whatever, and a pair of swim trunks, you know, and a fly rod. Is that appropriate equipment?
That's great. A lot of people do that. I don't prefer leeches, so I keep waders on.
You like to tie your own leeches at Woolly Booger, right?
That's right.
I gotcha. So what would you say to that person that's maybe on the fence? Oh, I'd like to start fly fishing. It looks cool. I'd like to try it. Especially somebody here, you know, Kansas, Nebraska, the Dakotas, that there's plenty of opportunity as far as public water. What kind of advice do you have for that angler?
I'd say get you it doesn't have to be an expensive rod. They make fly rods from $20 to several hundred dollars, mm-hmm. over $1,000. It just, it's a big variety out there. Just get a over-the-counter $20 rod reel, and most of them come with fly line, and most of them don't come out with a tippet on it, but you can just use a piece of monofilament line for that, and either get you some little poppers, topwater cork poppers, if you're going to fish for like bluegill, or this is a great time of the year for a little topwater popper, mm-hmm. or a bigger popper for bass. That was my first setup, was a popper for bass, and my first fish was a 3-pound largemouth bass.
Nice.
There you go.
That's a fly rod.
I was hooked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking your local sporting goods store, or in today's world, you jump on online, maybe a brand like, I don't know, Eagle Claw, I don't know, Shakespeare maybe makes something, some fly rods.
Cortland makes some fly rod reel combinations.
Okay. They're so
pretty reasonable priced.
Yeah. So if I was going to Google that or, you know, go to bigboxstore.com, could find a budget setup south of $100 and,
yes.
and get you started. You got to have a fishing license, right? If you're over, what is it, 16 in Kansas, and
mm-hmm.
Find some public water somewhere or a farm pond. I'm curious, you know, a lot of fishing goes on at state fishing lakes, city lakes, impoundments, reservoirs. What's your experience been with, I know most of the Kansas streams are private, but there is some public access. Have you had much success or have you fished much on streams, rivers, creeks in Kansas or surrounding plain states?
A little bit, and they're great if for like small largemouth bass,
mm-hmm.
Green sunfish. Most, about every hole of water has a green sunfish in it. Bluegill.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder and harder all the time to get access to these public grounds or private grounds, but
mm-hmm.
Below some of the dams, there's some public water right below them, and that's a great place to work.
Great. So, to your knowledge, are there any other ways, you know, other than buying something either in a store or online, are there any other ways to get involved if fly fishing you think maybe is in your future?
come see me and use one of my rods.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Find Roger and he'll get you set up. Okay.
And he's the man.
Yeah. You know, I do think that, I haven't looked for a little while, but I think Orvis, so there's one in Overland Park, and I'm assuming in some of the other bigger metro areas. So, you know, they sell rods and reels and flies for that matter. But I think they do have some classes, some casting classes and fly tying courses. And in fact, I think right when COVID was really going pretty heavy, some of those even moved to online where you could just do a Zoom like we're doing today and set up with some guy and learn to tie, you know, whatever the pattern was.
You know, Wichita State University, I just found this out, has a fly fishing 101 class where you enroll in it as a student, and you don't have to pay, obviously, huge enrollment fees. This is kind of a extracurricular class, basically, from what I understand. And you basically get to learn the history of fly fishing, the methodology of it. You get into the different flies. And then you go back and take the next class, and that's where you actually learn to tie them and you go out and fish, which I think is really cool.
Very cool.
So there might be a lot of local colleges too in your area to check out for classes there too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
So Roger, you have any final fly fishing words of wisdom? Not to cut you off. We'll sit here and listen. We'll try and like a sponge, soak up everything you've got to offer. But what'd we miss?
Boy, I don't know if you missed anything. It's just get out there and get your fly rod and go get them.
Perfect. Perfect. That's exciting.
Roger, I've got one question for you. Yeah. So you said you've been doing this for 50 years?
Might not be 50. It might be just 49 and a half.
Yeah, you know details, right? So how old were you when you first started, you said?
I'd just come back from Vietnam, so I was 21.
21. Yep. Gosh. So how did you get started then? Did one of your buddies invite you out, or was this something you had on your mind to go do at some point?
I subscribed to Fur Fish and Game magazine, and I read articles in there about it, and I thought, boy, I got to do this.
And that was it. The rest was history.
You bet.
So how were your first experiences out there as a first-time fly fisherman?
Frustrating.
It's probably humbling to think back on those times, and it's probably good for other folks to know that you got to learn as you go. You're not going to be great when you get started.
That's exactly right. It starts slow, but keep at it. Don't give up.
So I'm curious, Roger, a young man I'm guessing late 1960s, early 1970s. Where did you acquire your first fly rod from? Maybe it wasn't in Kansas, but I can't imagine there were a lot of them around at bait shops across the Midwest.
It was in Madison, Kansas, at the Otesco store.
No kidding.
It's serious. That's, it was a Zebco fly rod with a. And I don't remember the kind. It was an automatic fly reel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember. It's disappeared somewhere over the years. But but the rod is still great and going.
I love it. How cool is that? Such a good story. And that right there is proof of why you should just get out and go, right? Don't overthink it anymore. I'm going to go buy a rod right now.
You betcha. Get it.
Awesome. Well, what do we have coming up next on the Great Plains? I feel like we talked about how September's right around the corner, and that just jumpstarts all of the hunting seasons. I feel like it gives you a little bit of a, I don't know, excitement in your life to start planning all of the hunts. I know we've got dove season here in Kansas and very much around other surrounding states opening up soon. Early teal season is right around the corner too. I know I've got quite a few of those events planned on my calendar.
Yeah, you know, Kansas has a early prairie chicken season. I think Nebraska has one of those too. And September is when we start getting into the youth deer weekend, the antlerless deer weekend, the muzzleloader deer season is going to open up.
Yeah.
Archery season's going to open up for whitetails. If you're an antelope hunter, you can get out into western Kansas. Both the Dakotas have got some antelope seasons, and those are going to be opening up. So there's a lot of stuff right around the corner, and you don't have to get very far past September. We get in the first part of October, and pheasant seasons in Nebraska and the Dakotas are going to be opening, and you don't have to drive very far. Maybe just walk out your back door, depending on where you're at. And in the next several weeks, there's going to be plenty of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all of those seasons plus small game seasons, right? Like squirrel yes. season's been open here in Kansas since June. Cottontails, that's open. Did the afternoon start to be a little cooler? Take that opportunity to get out there. And we don't have to tell Roger that there is some fantastic autumn fishing as fall rolls through here.
You bet. That's a great time.
Yeah, you don't have to you sweat your soul out either, which is great.
That's right.
Well, Roger, I'm going to be finding my way out to Madison to do some fishing with you here soon.
I look forward to that.
Well, we sure appreciate you coming on, Roger, and sharing so much about fly fishing with us. I know I've learned a lot, and I hope all of our listeners have too. Best of luck this fall fishing. And like I said, I hope I see you out there sometime soon.
Sounds great.
Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in, and please tell your friends to listen to the Great Plains Outdoors podcast. We'll see you next time.
See you later, Brittany.
See ya. Bye, Roger.
Bye.